If it wasn't for them, my mom would never have become a Seventh-day Adventist. Because one Sunday, when my mom was about 11 years old, her Sunday school teacher said, "Your family came from the monkeys." She was actually told that. And my mom looked at her Sunday school teacher and said, "And where did your family come from?" And she stood up, walked out, and never went back to the Mormon church again. And it wasn't until she was older, when someone came on the door, and it was two Seventh-day Adventist call porters that came to share God's message with her. And through that, my mother became a Seventh-day Adventist. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out. But anyway, good morning. It's another beautiful day, even though the sun is not really shining through the clouds, yet the sun is always shining on the other side, right?
Amen.
Yes. But most of all, and most important, may the sun of the Lord Jesus Christ shine through us today. God is good. And all the time,
God is good.
How often we say that? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Why do you believe that? How do you know it's true? The Word of God? Okay. Well, let me just share with you just a little bit of how I know my God is good. How do we know that this star-breathing God that we talked about last Sabbath, this God who is so busy holding the universes together, yet is never too busy to continue to shower his goodness upon each one of us? Most of you know that I grew up on the island of Molokai in Hawaii on a cattle ranch. My dad was a rancher after he got out of the military. And on this particular Sunday, at the age of 10 in 1960, not too long ago, we were going to move some cattle from one pasture to another. And my brother and I had the beautiful chore of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go and get the horses saddled. And I don't know, till today, I was trying to ask myself, what happened? But it wasn't long. For whatever reason, my brother and I started arguing with each other. Okay? I was already mad with the world, because this was right after my accident with my hand. I was mad now with my brother. I was feeling sorry for myself. I actually wanted to die. I left my brother, and I ran into the barn, grabbed a lasso rope. And after grabbing the lasso rope, I ran up into the mountain that was right behind of our house. And a portion of the mountain, there was a water tank that we got our drinking water from. And I climbed the ladder to the top of the tank, tied one end of the rope to the top rung, and put the other end around my neck. Here I was, 10 years old, gonna jump off and kill myself. As I was standing there by the edge, ready to jump, I heard a voice, just as though someone was right there standing beside me. And all it said was, "Pat, don't do it." I was startled. I was looking around and said, "Who was that?" I took the rope off my neck. I walked around the top of the tank, looking over the side, trying to see if there was anyone else there. There was no one. So I went back to the rope, put it back around my neck. "Pat, Don't do it. This time I wasn't only startled, I was afraid. I took the rope off my neck, I climbed down the ladder, and I ran up further into the mountains. Asked myself, who was that? I know there was nobody around me. I know my brother didn't follow me. Well, it wasn't until later on in the afternoon. I was hungry, you know, no breakfast, no lunch. I had just run off. And I looked up into the sky and said, God, were you talking to me? And I remember the story of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. You remember that story where God called Samuel? And I said, why? Why did you tell me not to do it? I wanted to die. Well, I was convinced that God, for whatever reason, spoke to me that morning. Why? I don't know. Jumping ahead, 1972, I was a crane operator for the construction company that I was working for. I used to operate those cranes, those that sit on the ground, the mobile truck cranes, and also those on, that you see on the building. And on this particular day, there was very little lifting that had to be done. And because of the union, all I had to do was sit there and wait. And while waiting, I said, man, you know, I can't just be sitting here and waiting. So I said, I'll go clean the crane. In the back of the crane, there was an engine compartment that you could walk, barely squeeze yourself into and walk around just a tiny bit. And I started wiping down the engine, the floor of the crane. And suddenly I heard sparks, the sound of sparking. And I was engulfed in flames. Flames all around me. And instinct told me, Pat, close your eyes, hold your breath. And in my mind's eye, I saw the narrow opening to my left, my only way of escape. I jumped through the opening, landed on the ground. To make a long story short, I was taken by ambulance to a hospital with second and third degree burns on the whole right side of my body. First degree burns on the left side of my body. Stayed in the hospital for 5 weeks. And while I was there, I'm arguing with God. Why did this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? You know, it wasn't until I stopped arguing with God and instead of arguing, I started praising him. Father, forgive me. First of all, forgive me for being so hard-headed and stupid and foolish and arguing with you. I should know better. But I started praising him and saying, thank you for sparing my life once again. Why? I don't know, but you spared my life one more time. I was growing in my walk with God. You know, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's just what we ought to do. In fact, earlier we were talking about community, how we're going to share Jesus. Number one, you and I have to grow in God's grace, in His knowledge. Because if we don't have any knowledge of who our Jesus is, what are we going to share? Okay? So I encourage you to grow. Spend time in God's Word. Claim His promises so that we will individually grow in grace, so that as we get together collectively as a group of believers, we can use that power to go forth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was beginning to see just how gracious and good our God is. As I look back at when I was on the top of that tank, I said, Pat, God actually spoke to you that morning. How good is He? Before I continue, I asked Brother Eben if he would share a song with us this morning.
Love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your arms. From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laying down, I've surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I've surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Brother Eben. God's goodness was running after me year after year after year. How good is God? How good is your God? Jumping ahead to November 22, 1999, my wife Mary and I had moved to Corona, the first time that we moved. I was able to get a job as a tow truck driver, driving for a company called Hamner Towing. And the company had a contract with Caltrans to patrol the freeways. Some of you are familiar with the Freeway Service Patrol Program, more commonly known as FSP. I was one of the relief drivers. And this one day, November 22, was a Monday, just before Thanksgiving. One of the drivers didn't show up, so I was pulled off of my regular towing duties and told to go and be an FSP driver for the afternoon shift. So I said, okay, went and changed, got into my FSP uniform, jumped in my truck, drove down to my section of the freeway. At that time, we had five different segments with two drivers in each segment of the freeway to patrol. My segment was from Van Buren to McKinley, going east and west on a 91 freeway. Around 6 p.m., I was going westbound, just past Tyler Overpass, and I saw to my right, up ahead, a big rig pulled over on a shoulder just before the La Sierra off-ramp. So I got there, pulled over behind him, parked my truck, got out, went over to see what his problem was, because we were there to stop for anyone. Anyone stopped on the side of the freeway. any debris on the freeway. Our duty was to make sure that the freeways were safe to drive. And let me tell you, if you don't already know this, never, never stop on the side of the freeway unless you absolutely have to. Very dangerous. In fact, earlier, one of our drivers was killed. And another one was actually thrown like from here to the wall from being hit. He's still alive. However, as I walked up to the guy, the driver of the big rig, I said, "Hey, what's going on?" I said, "Oh, my engine, something was wrong." So we opened up his engine compartment and we were able to find the problem and temporarily fix it so that he could get to at least off the freeway where it was safe. Well, after we got him going, I was putting my tools away in my tow truck. I'm standing on the right side of my truck, bending over, putting my tools in the toolbox, and all of a sudden I had this strange feeling. And I notice my truck is not in front of me. It's gone. I mean, just like that. I'm here, and all of a sudden, my truck is gone. I look to my right, all I see is fire on the freeway. And I turn around, and I see my truck down the slope of the freeway into the chain link fence, and on the other side is Castle Amusement Park. I said, "Wow, what happened?" So anyway, I ran to my truck, got on a two-way radio, got a hold of the highway patrol dispatch, because that's who we were in contact with whenever we do a freeway service patrol. We're in constant contact with the dispatcher in San Bernardino, Highway Patrol Department. And I told him, "Hey," told him who I was. We had a call, specific call sign assigned to each driver. I told him, "Hey, I need fire, I need ambulance, I need Highway Patrol. We have an accident on the 91, giving them the location. What had happened was, as I was putting my tools away in my tow truck, and fortunately I was standing on the passenger side of the truck, another big rig came, and we don't know what happened. He hit the back side of the left back of my tow truck, climbed over portion of it, crushing part of the cab, and causing my truck to veer to the right to go down the slope alongside the freeway. After doing that to my truck, he plows into the back end of the truck I had just gotten through assisting, pushing that truck about 8 feet forward with its air brakes on. That's how much force there was. By the way, I forgot to mention that when I realized my truck was not in front of me, I also realized that I was about 10 feet back from where I was standing. Now, to today, I don't know if my truck pushed me or if my guardian angel pushed me. All I know is I was back from where I was, with just a scrape on my arm. Had I been on the driver's side of the truck, I would have probably been seriously injured, if not crushed to death. Getting back to the fire, there was a lot of debris on the freeway. The cab of the truck, the big rig that hit us, was fully engulfed in flames. Because when he climbed over my truck, he ripped up his fuel tanks. and ended up catching on fire. The driver of that truck was still in his cab, engulfed in flames. We couldn't even get close enough because the heat was so intense. All we could do was stand and watch him burn to death. By the time fire department got there, and they got there pretty fast, I must say, considering the traffic and everything that they had to go through, they were there within 6-7 minutes after I placed the call for help. But by the time they got there, yeah, the driver was already dead. So here again, one life taken, my life spared once more. How good is my God? And again, Lord, why couldn't it have been me? Why wasn't it me? Or both of us? Well, anyway, my wife wasn't too happy when she found out about this, what had happened. She banned me from being a tow truck driver, even though the following morning, while she was sleeping, I jumped back into another truck that they had given me. But once again, they needed another FSP driver. And so I was out on the freeway once again the following morning. One thing my dad taught us growing up on a ranch is that if a horse throws you, you get right back on that horse and you show him who's in control. And I praise God for my father's advice. I could have stayed home and said, oh, you know, woe is me. I almost got killed. But I said, no. I'm going. I didn't tell him, I even wake my wife up because I knew what she would say. But God, again, his goodness was chasing after me. Chasing after me. Guess what? I'm just thinking about it now. Had I was killed in either one of those three incidents, I wouldn't have met beautiful people like you. But here we are today, worshiping our awesome, good God together. In December of 2015, I lost my mother. 3 months later, March of 2016, I lost my oldest sister. 3 months after that, in June of 2016, I lost my one and only brother. On October 26, 2023, I lost my oldest son. Is God still good? Yes. Yes. I believe that because of God's goodness towards me, he allowed the people that I dearly love to go to rest, to prepare me for when? For when I would lose the one I love the most. On May 1 of this year, when my wife was laid to rest. Yes, I still feel the pain. But do I have tough skin? No. But let me share what I do have. I have a God whose promises are sure. I have a God that is so good that he says, I am coming again. And because of this beautiful promise, we have the hope of not only seeing our Lord Jesus, but our loved ones once again. He is good. He's running after you. He's been running after me. I encourage each of you to cling to the promises of His Word. And as we mentioned in Sabbath school, as opportunity arises, go and share Jesus. Go and share Jesus so that the gospel will go into all of Vista and into all the world. And the promise is the end will come. How many of you want to see the end come? Then let's go and share His goodness, the goodness of God. I invite you to stand with me as we sing our closing hymn, number 518, Standing on the Promises. And one of His promises is found in Romans chapter 6, verse 22. It says, but now being made free from sin and having become servants of God, you, yes, you, have fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. That because of you, your goodness, we are here together as family. Children of Almighty God. Father, may your goodness be portrayed through us today. That whenever someone else looks at us, whenever they see us, they will see that we have been with Jesus. Guide us on our journey with you. Help us to grow in your grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, moment by moment. That as we stand on your promises, Father, the promises of your sure word, that we will rejoice. We will rejoice because you are coming again. Praise you. Thank you. Take us as we are and make us your vessels. In Jesus' name, amen.